you have some family that are not saved or friends, I want you to bring them to church next Sunday. I believe I'm going to bring a message next Sunday. It's a message I had for years. I've never preached it. Never have I ever preached this message that I'm going to preach next Sunday. That something great has not happened. Every time I've preached it, and I preached it all around the country in revivals, I preached it here. I'm going to bring a message called What's Good About Hell. It's a powerful message. How many of you have ever heard a preacher preach that message? I was looking at the other day, and I can preach other messages, but God put this in my heart. I'm going to do a little Jimmy Dellerschmidt tonight, and I have messages, but I have to do what God tells me. I think the Lord, if we'll win people and bring people, maybe some bikers will come that Sunday morning. But you need to bring people Sunday. That you bring them, God will save them. It's about time we start seeing. We had a couple join the church today. We have another couple join tonight, and we're thankful for. And that's exciting, amen. But I want to see people walking the aisle getting saved. I want to see people getting baptized, and I think it's time for us to start seeing people walk again, amen. And by the way, it's all our faults because we're not bringing people, and we're not winning them, because if we'd win them, we'd bring them down the aisle. So don't no one point fingers at anybody else, because no one's doing it. Hello? It's quiet on the internet. But every time I preach that message, What's Good About Hell, it takes a lot out of me. I'm completely fatigued afterwards for maybe an hour or two. It just takes everything in me, it takes out of me. But I guarantee if you'll bring lost people, I've never seen God not save them if they come on that. There's certain messages that God uses. And when Dr. Hiles used to preach fresh oil and all the great different messages, and that God just works in people's hearts. And so you bring them, and I'll give you all my heart. And we'll see what God can do with these people. Amen? Turn your Bibles to, amen? Turn the Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. How many love Dr. Jim Dellerschmidt? I love Dr. Jimmy. We were very good, close, good friends. Very close. And not only did he come to my church here, but when I was in Toledo, he was with me in Toledo also. And I was with him right before he died. I remember we ate at Luigi's Spaghetti House in Chicago. Luigi's. Or near Chicago. And I remember we hugged, and I could tell he was very sick. Me and my wife and his wife. And I said, I love you, Jim. I love you too, buddy. And when me and Rose drove away that night, years ago, I told Rosie, it's the last time we're going to see Jim till we get to the other side. It wasn't. A few weeks later, she called us, and Dr. Jim went to be with the Lord. And I sure do love him. He was a great preacher. We called him the Encourager. And I'm going to preach one of his messages today. I thank God I don't have. It's an encouraging message, and I hope it's a blessing to you. I thank God I don't have. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. When you get it, please stand. Hold your hand there at Ephesians 5:20. And also look at, keep your finger in Ephesians 5:20, but look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I'll read that, and then we'll go to 5:20 of Ephesians. So you got two scriptures, Ephesians 5:20 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Ephesians 5:20. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I'm going to read it, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. How many got the scriptures? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. In everything. How many get that? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? Yeah. So it's God's will that we give thanks in everything. Now look at Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always. Giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to preach a message to you. I thank God I don't have. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Dr. Delishman. He's with you right now. Oh, what a blessing he was to me and all the people over the years. We sure loved him. We still do. We miss him. I'll be glad when, Lord, you call us all up to be with you, and we'll gather together as one huge family, never to say goodbye again. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless us tonight. Lord, I really want to be this is what you put in my heart. I really believe I'm preaching what you want me to preach tonight. Hundreds of messages, thousands of messages, but I really believe this is the one you want me to preach, and I'm trying to be obedient to you. So Lord, I pray you'll come down and put your hand on me. Help me to do the work of God. Help me to do it well. Help me be a blessing to the people. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Bible teaches us in these scriptures that we should give thanks to God for all things, all things, always. Look at that 5:20 of Ephesians. Giving thanks how often? Always. Boy, that hurts us grumpies. Giving thanks. I'm happy. I'm praising you, God, because I'm grumpy. Hallelujah. Amen. Giving thanks always for all things. Do you ever notice after you drink that first cup of Dunkin' coffee or A&P coffee, that good coffee, everything just seems to go better? Especially if there's a donut next to it, you know? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us we're to give thanks for all things. Not just some. Not just some. All things. You know, that's not always easy to do for all things. I mean, if you're doing some woodworking and you slam that hammer and you don't hit the nail, but you hit this nail, it's hard when you smash your thumb to say, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, I just smashed my thumb. Oh, glory, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that smashed thumb. Hard to do that sometimes. How many are with me yet? I mean, it's hard, but we're told to thank God for all things. Now, I can't say glory to God. I'm glad I'm American. How many can say that? How many can say glory to God? I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. How many can say amen to, I'm thankful for the wonderful Savior and the heavenly home he's given me? How many can say amen to, I'm glad that I'm part of the family of God? How many can say I'm thankful that Jesus is coming back soon? Amen, he is too. And listen, we need to be thankful for all God's blessings on us today. But we also need to be thankful for what we don't have. This evening, for a few moments, I want to just thank God for what I don't have. First of all, and by the way, I want to thank God I don't have. Number one, there's six of them. I thank God I don't have a mummy or a Savior. I thank God I don't have a mummy for a Savior. Praise God, we have a risen Savior. He's a real Savior. He's a reigning Savior. Can't even say amen to that. Listen, the angels proudly proclaimed in Luke 24:6, he's not here, but is risen. Hallelujah, man. I'm glad I got a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. I know he's in the world today. I know that he's living. I don't care what Madeline Mary has to say. Can anyone say amen? I thank God I don't worship statue. I thank God I don't worship mountains and trees and false gods. No, praise God, I serve a living God. I serve a real God. I serve a risen God. I serve the risen Jesus Christ. Can anyone say amen? King of kings, Lord of lords. Listen, let me tell you, I serve a risen Savior. He's not only is he a risen Savior, but he's a redeeming Savior. He's a reigning Savior. He's a real Savior. Hallelujah. And he's a reigning Savior. And one day, hallelujah, one day real soon, he's going to be a returning Savior. People say, I don't believe he's coming back. Doesn't matter. He's still coming. Listen, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. It won't be old Muhammad that calls us home. It won't be Hare Krishna that plays the trumpet tune. I'm going to see my Savior and not the Reverend Moon. Can anyone say amen? I'm so glad I don't have a mummy or a Savior. Number two, I'm thank God I don't have a myth for the Scriptures. This old King James Bible has been attacked. It's been criticized. They say this old King, it's archaic. They say it's old-fashioned. But you know what I want to say to you? Say that? It's up to date. I got news for all the gainsayers. They are wrong. This Bible is, this King James, if you got, how many got a King James Bible? Lift it up, let me see it. My Bible, the King James Bible, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. You got a living Bible. I'm telling you, it's powerful. It's God-breathed. It's pure. It's perfect. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. No errors in my Bible. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Hallelujah. I'm going to stick with this whole Bible right here, Brother Marty. I ain't going to let no one take my King James Bible from me. Amen? I'm going to take it to the end. Praise God. God's word is going to live forever. How many are glad you got a forever Bible? You know, Charles Darwin and all those lost professing fakes that said that they wanted to have the theory of evolution. And they wanted to say that there was no God. You know what? Zonk. Listen, I'll take God and his word. Listen, first of all, I'm glad I don't have a monkey for an ancestor. They try to make you out to be a monkey, but... And now, Kenny, I might have had some skivers in the past that swung by trees. Probably not by their hands, or maybe by their neck with a rope. I don't know. I hope not. But I don't have a monkey for an ancestor. Can anyone say amen? And I thank God I don't have a myth. I believe in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. You know, I'm glad I don't have a myth for this. Carl, I'm glad we can take our Bible and read it and believe it. You young people, you can trust this Bible all the way to the end. I'm glad I got a Bible to stick. Preacher, I'm glad I got a Bible to believe in. How many glad God gave us a Bible? He gave us this King James Bible for the English language. And I'm so thankful for it. I thank God. I got a real scripture. Let me give you one scripture before I move on. Look at Psalms 12, verse 6. Psalms is about the middle of your Bible. Psalms, right after Palms. You'll get it. Psalms 12, 6. Psalms 12, 6. The words of the Lord, what are they? They're pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. God's perfect number is seven. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. How long? Forever. You have a forever King James Bible. You have a Bible that's going to, by the way, when we even get to heaven, the word's going to be there. Can anyone say amen? Come on, amen? Hold on to that King James Bible. It's God's holy word for you and I forever. Can anyone say amen? Then number three, I thank God I don't have, I'm glad I don't, that you don't have, a modernist for a pastor. Man, I'm glad Pastor Dave's not a modernist. I'm glad our associate pastors aren't modernists. If they were, I'd knock their lights out. Amen? I'm glad I was talking to Billy and preparing him for the ministry today, we were sharing some things with him. I said, Billy, I'm proud of you, Bill, because you've stayed true to the Word. It's so important that men of God stay true to the Word. And I said, you need to always stay true to the Word. I thank God, though, we don't have a modernist for a pastor. Listen, Thank God for preachers that stand for the Word of God. I'm not saying we're the greatest men of God. I'm just telling you, you're fortunate to have men of God in this church. I mean, John 1:6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I know almost 24 years ago I came to this church. I was talking to somebody about this just recently. I was talking about this afternoon. And I was at a fellowship. I went to a Bible preaching. I stayed for the luncheon on a Tuesday. And I went up to the preacher over there. He was in Canton, Ohio at the time. And I said, you know any churches open? He said, yeah, there's a church in Ravenna. I believe there's a church called Bethel Baptist in Ravenna. And the very moment he said that, the Holy Spirit, by the way, that's what it felt like, to a thump. It really did. The very moment he said that to me, God's Holy Spirit pricked my heart and said, ha! Because I was out candidating for churches at that time. That's where I'm going. I got on the phone. I called Rosie. I said, pack your bags. I don't know if I called or not. I might have just gotten in my car and drove home real fast. I said, hey, pack your bags. Get all the boxes out. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, hey, we're moving. We're going to a church called Bethel Baptist in Ravenna, Ohio. She said, where's that at? I said, I don't have an idea where it's at. I'm going to get the road atlas. It's in the eastern part of Ohio. But I know God spoke to me. We're going there. I sent a resume out. And 2 days later, Brother Dan Sable called me. After I sent that resume. And I was in here preaching about a week later. And it was exciting. And I knew, Brother Mike, before I preached, before I came here, God had told me, this is where you're going to pastor. I already, Miss Mert, I already knew I was your preacher, and I didn't even know you yet. Hello? When I came, I had no doubt about it. And the first night I was here, I taught Sean how to cheat to win a game. He was like 14 then. And we won, and that's all that matters. I told him the importance. Win at all costs. And then we came down. We had a trip. It was just like, I remember the first day I preached here. It was like I had pastored here already 20 years. It wasn't like I was even in a new church. It was so much the hand of God. I'm going to tell you right now. Listen to me. I'm glad that God, and I know God's brought Pastor Dave and other men to us. Listen, those men aren't here by accident. God had a purpose for them men to be here. And aren't you glad? Look, there was a man sent from God. And you name that preacher's name. They were sent from God. And I'm glad. I know for a fact. Listen, churches need men sent from God. Don't ever forget that. You need men sent from God. And I told this church when I came, I was sent from God. Thank God for preachers that still believe the Bible. By the way, the couple we're talking today, the Smiths, they were at a church. They visited when they came to this area. I'm not saying what church, but they visited another couple other churches. And they told me one church, Brother Smith said, preacher, we were only there one service. I didn't have to even pray about going back. They didn't have a Bible. They showed a movie and did other junk. How many can say amen? Brother Jack, I'm glad we got real preachers here sent from God. Can anyone say amen? Thank God for preachers that still believe the Word of God is true. Thank God for those that still believe in the account of Jonah and the whale. How could that be? Because God said it. Thank God for preachers that know what's right from God and what's counterfeit from Satan. Let me get you some counterfeits from Satan. Like promise keepers, counterfeit. Tongue speaking, counterfeit. Christian rock music, Christian rock, counterfeit. See, now everything that calls itself Christian don't mean it's Christian. The NIV Bible, not inspired version, that's the counterfeit. Can anyone say amen? Women preachers, counterfeit. How many are with me? Speaking in tongues, counterfeit. Listen, we have a lot of preachers today with PhD degrees. You know what that stands for? Post hole digger. But we need some old-fashioned preachers with BA degrees, born again. Listen, you give me an old-fashioned spitting, yelling, screaming, stammering preacher with a born-again degree over any name of the PH degree. What America needs today, it needs real preachers, real preaching, with a real Bible, with a real conviction. That's the kind of Bible that's the kind of preachers we need today. Preachers with conviction. I grabbed a hold of young Billy and I said, "You have conviction to the day you die, boy." He's one of our kids. We're excited. I get by himself. I try to get go alone with him for a few minutes every weekend. We have dinner together, and not almost every weekend. And I try to get with him and try to give him a few words. Like, "If you don't do this, Bill, I'm going to kill you." No, I'm just kidding you. Kidding. No, I love those kids, and I'm proud of them. Listen to me. We need preachers and Sunday school teachers that will preach holiness, preach separation, preach convictions, preach repentance of sin, preach on heaven, preach on hell. That's what we need today. We need preachers and Sunday school teachers and deacons and Christians to stand with conviction on the blood of Christ. And on the book, the King James Bible, and the blessed return and blessed hope. Listen, the blood, the book, and the blessed hope, we ought to be solid on that all the time. No wavering. Listen, there's too many preachers who are backpedalers, pussyfooters, compromisers, yellowback, sissy, wissy, mammy, pammy, sissy, no good stinking rats. How you like my words? I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a weak-kneed preacher. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a preacher that don't believe the Bible. And if you go to a church that don't believe the Bible, you're in the wrong church. Listen, we need preachers today that will preach God's holy word with real conviction, without compromising. That's the trouble today, Pastor Dave. You know what's happened to the fundamentalism? Compromise. Well, we got to do that now to appease the masses. No, we're not ever going to have a mass here. That's for Catholics. You have a mass, you have a mess. How many are still with me? Boy, what did preacher take? He must be really on those blood pressure pills. He's really flipping out today. I'm feeling good. And I didn't take no pills, by the way. Just the gospel. I thank God we don't have a mummy for a savior, a myth for the scriptures, a modernist for a pastor. And by the way it's going today, we're talking about even some of the churches that call themselves Baptists, they're not. And what I'm glad, Brother Jack, they're starting to take their names off. Someday I want to get me a Labrador Retriever. Again, Rose's going to kill me. But they call that dog, the reason they call him Labrador Retriever, because there's some distinctions about that dog. He likes to swim. He likes to retrieve ducks and geese. There's a beagle likes to hunt rabbits. But they all have a distinction. See, when you say you're Baptist, you don't have to say nothing to anybody else. They know, uh-oh, that guy believes in eternal life. He believes in hell. That guy, he'll put you in hell right now, buddy. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. Baptists stand for something. By the way, John the Baptist walked 60 miles to baptize Jesus. Jesus started the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem. Hello? You said, "I didn't read that in the Bible." Well, I'm going to tell you right now. What kind of church was it if it wasn't? You think, a lot of you guys, you cringe up. "I'm coming, Martha. I'm coming." No, you just need to hear real truth. No Baptist church ever saved anybody. Never will. It's all through the founder. The founder of the church is Jesus. But I'm going to tell you right now, he did start a local church, and I'm glad I'm in that stream. I'm glad I'm in that stream that God started over 2,000 years ago. Can I say amen to that? Thank God I don't have a mummy for a savior, a myth for the scripture, modernist for a pastor. And I thank God, number four, I don't have a morgue for a church service. I mean, I'm glad this church is not the First Baptist Church of North Pole and Pastor Jack Frost. Listen, I believe people should say amen. Can you say it? I believe they ought to say hallelujah. Can you say it? I believe they ought to say praise God in church. Can you say it? Hallelujah. Now, look, watch. Say hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now, that's good church. We need to practice up for heaven. I'm going to show you scripture. What we're doing here now, we're practicing for heaven. Look at Revelation 19:1. Revelation 19:1. I'm almost done. I'm close. I'm farther than when I was. Revelation 19:1. If you don't think we're going to do this in heaven, we're in heaven right here. 19:1, we're in heaven. Look at 19:1 at Revelation. After these things, I heard a great voice of what? Much people in where they at saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power in the Lord our God. Woohoo! We're having a Pentecostic fit. We are having a Pentecostic fit in heaven. You know what, Steve? I know for how many believe the Bible's true? How many believe that we're going to do that? So what I'm doing, Brother Bobby, I'm just practicing, getting ready for it. I want to warm up to it. Amen? Can you imagine the people? Boy, I used to go to pastor school every year. I hardly ever missed a year when Dr. House was alive in there. And God knows my... But the Canadians, God bless the Canadians that came. And if you're from Canada, we love Canada. I love Canada. I really do. Good place. Great lakes and rivers. Got the best fishing there in Canada. My dad used to take me up there when I was a kid. But the Canadians are more calm and serene. They're just real quiet. And, man, Brother Marty, one night the Holy Spirit came down. This is the truth. I'm not preaching. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you. It's the truth. There was an anointing that night. There was literally an anointing of God. About three or four, two, at least three times during those years I went there. It don't always happen, just once in a while. And there was an anointing that came down from heaven. And Brother Mike, people were crying. They were getting up praising God. They made altars of chairs. People were in the aisles. They were all over, and they were just crying out. I mean, crying out. It was unbelievable. They were just crying out and crying out. And Pastor Hiles had such a sense of spirit for people. He went to the podium because he could tell those Canadian people were scared. He said, don't worry, it's all right. Everything's all right in my father's house. He said, it's all right. I mean, he took time to let those people know it was all right. And we saw a manifestation of God. You know what? When nowadays, all our churches and all of us are, we very some ever see this manifestation of God, Harley? I think when it comes, people get scared. Wow. Did you see that guy today? Man, he looked like he was out of this world. Maybe he was. I'm not saying to be a holy roller. But I'm saying there's times when God comes down, you shouldn't be afraid to say amen. Brother West, I'm never afraid to raise my hand and say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, dear God. There'll never be a time for that. I don't think you should have a lady grab your baby and say, here, hold my baby so I can make a demonstration. I don't believe in that. But if God moves your heart to say something, or do, you know, if it's of God, I'm not against that. How many are still with me? You know, there's a right way to do things and a wrong way. There's something real from God, and then there's counterfeits. Am I making sense to anybody? I'm so glad we had those special days. I'm glad I don't have a morgue for a church service. I believe God's people should say amen. I believe God's people should say hallelujah and praise God. Only if the Lord leads you, though. I don't think you ought to say it just to say it. I don't think you ought to say it to be heard. I think you ought to just say it because it comes out of you. Like, those people singing stuff. I get so excited when they sing and stuff, and I say, amen, glory to God, jumping around. And you say, oh, he's just doing that. I am just doing it, but I'm doing it because I can't stop. My spirit's saying, jump up and down, shout, scream, go boogeyman, yeah! Man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I can praise my Savior when I want to. I'm not afraid to praise Him. God's people don't come to churches to view a dead Savior. The saints of God need to come to church to an exciting church. That's why this church, I love to sing. Always make John and the choir, make it exciting. You special singers, say, boy, make it exciting. You get up there. Oh, yes. I know He saved me. That's not going to do it. How many are still with me? But if you girls go up there and wait, man, praise God! I know I'm saved! Hallelujah! Man, glory! And you start singing. You know what? People are going to lift up in the heart and say, yeah! Too many dead people in the churches today. They need to come alive. Amen? Listen, saints of God need a church to come and be excited. We have something to be excited about. We've got a real Savior. We got a living Savior. We got a coming Savior. We got a new body. We got a new home. We got a mansion in glory. We got no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death. Can anyone say amen? There should be preaching in God's church. There should be praying in God's church. There should be praising in God's church. Listen, I thank God I don't have a morgue for a church. Number five, I thank God that I don't have a mistake for my salvation. Let me tell you something. It's not the healers, feelers, and squealers. It's not the work for, hope for, or worry for. 2 Timothy 1:12 says this. Paul said, I know who I believed in, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Do you know your... Look up here. How many really know they're saved? I've got no doubt about my salvation. I know whom I believed in, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I commit and to get day. Listen, I'm not hoping to get to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm not holding out wishing that I make it. I know I'm going to make it. I don't deserve it, but I know I'm going. Look at a familiar scripture that look in 1 John. 1 John 5. I could quote this. I want you to see it. 1 John 5:11. I'm going to show you God's record. Back of your Bible, 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God had given to us. I'm in 1 John 5:11, near the back of your Bible. And this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life. What's He given to us? And His life is in what? Yeah, you don't get eternal life through the church. You don't get eternal life through the baptistry. You don't get eternal life through good works. You get it through Jesus. This is a record that God gave him to eternal life, and His life is His. He that hath the Son. Who's the Son? Okay. If you've got Jesus, He that hath the Son, what do you have? Life. He that not the Son of God have not life. If you're saved, you got Jesus. If you're not saved, you don't have Jesus. If you're saved, you got Jesus, you're going to heaven. If you're not saved, you're not going to heaven because you don't have Jesus. These things have I written unto who? Yeah, Jens, y'all. He's writing to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may. God doesn't want us to be in the dark. He wants you to know things, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. I'm telling you, I've got confidence in Christ. I got confidence in His Word. Can anyone say amen? So you're here today saved. Don't you let the devil, and the devil will try to mess your mind up. Oh, you're not going to heaven. You just cussed that guy out. You know the guy that almost put you in the ditch and you do it. Hello? Or you just, that your wife took 3 hours to make you a meal and you said, oh, this is horrible. I wouldn't feed it to the dogs. And you slammed the door and she's there crying. You're in trouble. Can I help you guys? No matter how bad it is, eat it. And smile. And tell her you love her. Or, if you can't eat, say, hey, you know what? I just thought you're so good today. I'm going to take you out for a steak. Let's just leave this here. We'll get it somewhere. Let's go out for a steak. I'm trying to help you guys. How many are listening to the man of God? That's good marriage counseling, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it's real good marriage counseling. Listen, how many are still with me? Paul said, I know whom I believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed. And then, lastly, I thank God I don't have a misused life or a service. Are you in Timothy? Or where are you at, John? Go back to 2 Timothy, and I'll close out with that verse. 2 Timothy, looks like I wrote chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. I thank God I don't have a misused line for his service. Paul said, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew he's getting ready to die. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Look up here to me, you young people. I didn't think I'd get this old this fast, Billy. Do all you can and never turn back. Do all you can and never turn back. There's going to be times you're going to want to quit. Most preachers quit at least once a month. Usually it's on Monday after a bad Sunday. But you determine in your heart. You determine, you young people, you determine in your heart. How old are you, Colton? 21. Man, that's how old I was when I surrendered to preach. I'm 65 now, son. Is that 44 years? 44 years ago, I think I was your age, I think. 44 and 20, is that 65? I remember I surrendered on my birthday, March 22nd. I'm glad I never stopped. I never became famous. But you know what I did, Colton? I served God the best I could. Oh, I failed him sometimes. But I just kept going. And I never quit. Jimmy, you and your sister are serving God now. Don't ever quit. Because before you know it, I think the rapture will happen for you kids. I hope it happens for you kids. But before, if the Lord doesn't come back, someday soon you're going to have silver hair, believe it or not. All you good looks are all going to, you'll be an old guy, fat like me. You probably won't be. You guys are skinny for life. All three of you. But you're going to say, wow, look up here. Where? Here's Brother Nowak. He can say amen with me. Just seems like we were kids. Doesn't it, Brother Nowak? And Betty, Johnny, Marty, it seems like yesterday I was just a young kid. I was looking at pictures, getting out these, when I first started preaching. Wow. Boy, look at the dark black brown hair, man. I mean, I really had a nice head of hair on me, and nice and dark. Not the silver glow now. And I remember preaching, Steve, and excited. I'm glad I did. But Larry, I'm glad I slowed down a little bit. When I was a young kid, just in my early years, I used to jump on top of pianos and preach off pianos. I swung from things. Man, I was a wild man. I couldn't get over God saving me. And I remember preaching on that street of Galena. And I remember that first Easter at Lighthouse Baptist. We were only like 3 months old, 4 months old. And that little room only held about 60 people. Then we opened the door, and there was another, we put another 20 chairs in the, where the bath, near the bathrooms. Then the open door that was right on the street. I remember looking out, and people had ran home, and they brought kitchen chairs, and there probably was 40 people sitting on chairs that they went home and got right on Galena Street as I preached the Word of God. I remember those days. I do. I remember the days I could run. I remember those days when I could hit home runs. And I could hit him, buddy. I couldn't even get it. We tried a bottle a year ago. I couldn't even get it past first base. I'm Mickey Mantle. What's happened here? Now you got to hold. What am I saying to you? Only one life. Even though right now it doesn't seem like it's only one life, will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You got to determine. You know what? You know what made me keep going? I was 10 years in church before I started pastoring. I didn't start pastoring. I was around 31 years old. And I surrendered to preach when I was 21. I had 10 years of just learning and training before even God sent me out. But you know what? I didn't quit. I'm just glad I might not always went full force. I might not always not been going down steam rolling like I should, but I hung in there. How many know what I'm talking about? And Mac, you that are silver hair, aren't you glad we hung in? Because we're near the end now. And we're gonna see Jesus said, Lord, I kept the faith. I stayed with the stuff. Can anyone say amen? Young people, don't let Satan try to take your life. He will. Serve God. Stay in church. I really don't believe I'd be alive today had I not stayed in church. I believe I'd end up back in the bar and with a gun shot in me or a knife or who knows what would have been with me. Crashed car. You stay in church. It's the best place you can. There's not a greater place to be in than church. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. May God help us not to let Satan waste our life. Listen, nearing the end of Paul's life, Paul looked around without fear. Nearing the end of Paul's life, Paul looked back without regret. Nearing the end of his life, Paul looked ahead without doubt. Look what he said there. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept. Can you say that when you get to the end? I hope so. Listen to me as I close these words out. Child of God, Christians, preachers, deacons, Sunday school teachers, I've got one word for you. Two words. Don't quit. Don't quit. How many of you are listening to me right now? Don't quit on God. Don't quit. Don't quit, because one day you're going to come to the end just like Paul, and you're going to say, man, I'm glad I kept going and I didn't quit on God. Otherwise, you're going to be, man, I wish I had. You know what? I'm nearing the end. My body's all, my foot's about 8 off and things going bad, but you know what? It said, I thank God I didn't have a misused life for his service. Make your life count for God. I don't care how old you are. Make your life count for God. How many are hearing me tonight? Make your life count for God. Don't have a misused life for Christ. I'm so glad I don't have a mummy for a savior, a myth for the scriptures, a modernist for a preacher, a morgue for a church service, a mistake for my salvation, and a misused life for my service for God. I hope you'll listen to some of that. Think about what I told you tonight. This was Dr. Dellersmith's message. I'm so glad I don't have. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for Dr. Jim. What a blessing. Oh, we love him so much. I miss him so much. Thank you for some of these great little Bible messages he left behind. I pray something I said would stick with these people tonight. Pray that heaven came down a little bit and somewhere something that we made or illustration, it will stay, it will stick. It will help them in the coming days when they want to turn back and give up and, Lord, let Satan get victory over them. I pray that they'll stay strong for you. Help us, Father. Help us to have a not misused life for you. Oh, God. Help us to use our life for you while we can and do what we can. And I pray these things in Christ's name with every head bowed and every eye closed. How many could say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. And if I died, I'd know I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know I'm saved. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there any tonight that would say, I'm not sure I'm saved, Pastor. I'm really not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. I wish you could get me, 25 people here that are lost next Sunday. I believe half of them would be saved. I've never preached that message, what's good about hell, but that something great didn't happen. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give it your all. Give it all you got while you can, for as long as you can. Father, bless us, I pray. And move in our hearts. Holy Spirit, come down. Motivate us. Move us. Break our hearts for people going to hell. Help us to motivate us to witness and to pray and to reach out to a lost world, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on?